Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now, here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. And once again, I say unto you, my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the old King James Version of the Bible. And as I welcome you all to this episode tonight, I am excited because we are still looking at the book of Proverbs, and we know that Solomon gave us so much truth, so much wisdom out of this book that we can use what he has given us and practice it and be successful in whatever we do this side of eternity. Now, I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open during the study, your laptops or tablets, your Bible apps or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Another reminder, every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, during which time you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you like. The host has graciously set up a chat room for that purpose. Now, before we get started, I want to personally take this time to thank those of you who have taken the time to give me feedback on the show. The comments and the advice that you are giving me, my precious brothers and sisters, I am using. And I want to thank you so much for that. Now, as the theme song for the show suggests, the question for this hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? The Spirit said to the church at Thyatira, he that overcometh shall have power over the nations, meaning the flesh, and receive the morning star, meaning Jesus. That's taken from Revelations chapter 2, verse 29, and it's telling us that the promise, if you overcome, you will receive power over the flesh, and you will receive Jesus Christ. The Spirit said again to the church at Sardis, he that overcometh shall receive a white garment. His name shall not be blotted out of the book of life, and his name confessed to the Father and his angels by the Son. Revelation chapter 3, verse 6. And again, the point, this is the promise if you overcome, meaning that you hold true to godliness, you will not have your name blotted out of the Lamb's book of life. And you will be confessed before the Father and his Son by the angel, or you will be confessed by the Father and his angels by the Son. The Spirit said again to the church at Philadelphia, he that overcometh and keep the words of Jesus Christ shall not be subjected to the hour of temptation to commit sin. That's taken from Revelation chapter 3, verse 13. And again, overcoming is the key. That's the blessing. And if you overcome, well, the point is if you overcome, then the blessing will be that you will not be subjected to the hour of temptation to commit sin. The Spirit again said to the church at Laodicea, he that overcometh shall sit on the throne with Jesus Christ. And that's taken from Revelation chapter 3, verse 22. And still again, the promise is overcoming. And if you overcome, you will sit on the throne with Jesus Christ. And the question again for this hour is, are you standing on these promises? Now, before we get started, as I always do, I rehearse this on purpose because it's so critical to know that the Bible, my brothers and sisters, is written in code. It's written in mysteries and secrets, parables and prophecies, in proverbs and paradoxes, in riddles and in symbols. And the only way to break the code is through study and learning. And that's why we are on the air. That's why we are talking one to another. That's why we have that room for open dialogue to study and learn together. Okay, let's go to the study. Turn your Bible sources with me to Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. And as I read the instruction or the text to you, this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind. Ask these things from God. Now, we know that there's so much we should be asking for from God, but more especially, we should be asking for salvation, forgiveness of sins and salvation. Now, this is what Proverbs chapter 30, verse 7 through 9 tells us. This is what it says. Proverbs chapter 30, 7 through 9. Two things have I required of thee. Deny me them not before I die. Remove from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me to eat, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of the Lord my God in vain. Critical, my precious brothers and sisters. This is telling us that we should remove ourselves from vanity and all lies. And we should not try and accumulate wealth. But of course, we don't want to live in poverty either. And we should eat the food that is convenient for us to eat. First, spiritual food. And I would suggest the gifts and fruits of God. Wisdom of God, knowledge of God, faith of God, love of God, joy of God, peace of God. And then, of course, you feed your physical body. Remember, Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and the rest will be added to you. The thing that is so critical is to know that we must not get beside ourselves, because we will resist God. And if we are too rich, their tendency is not in our favor. And if we are too poor, the tendency, again, is not in our favor. Now, to amplify this, we're going to go to Psalms. And this is what King David said in Psalms 119, verse 33 through 39. Psalms 119, verse 33 through 39. This is what King David had to say, meaning there are so many requests that should be made of God. And through the books of basic instructions before leaving earth, we've only selected a few just for this lesson's sake. And so there are many more than what I'm reading to you, but I'm doing this to identify, to substantiate or satisfy this particular lesson. I see we're at our first break. Let's take our first break, then I'll come back and we'll complete the instructions.
power of the tongue. Life and death are harnessed in the power of our tongue. Do we believe this? Even though the tongue is a small thing, it can make grand speeches. A tiny spark, also a small thing, can set a great forest on fire. The rudder of a ship is another small thing that can direct the course of a large vessel. Among all the parts of our body, the tongue is the most powerful and can set your world on fire or breathe life into a weary soul. You choose. The word tells us that our words can be like a scorching fire, separating close friends, stirring up anger, and providing the folly of fools. In contrast, the word also says that our tongue can speak words that bring life. Words like apples of gold, life-giving water or honey to the soul. Our words have impact for good or ill. Our tongue and its power to use words is a unique and influential gift from God. When we read the book of Proverbs, we must notice that verse upon verse about the power of our words keep jumping off the page. Proverbs 12:6 teaches that our words have the power to destroy and the power to build up. Are we using the words from our tongue to build up people or destroy others? Who's in charge of your tongue? Who can we blame when hurtful things come tumbling out of our mouths? It is imperative that we make a conscious decision to control the output of our own tongues. Since our powerful, positive, and beautiful words can heal and uplift, we must be lavish in these words. When spoken with truth, our words have the ability to change lives. Stop and think about how you communicate. Do your words encourage people to achieve greatness? Do your words support and help someone who is suffering? Do your words nurture, nourish, and inspire your own children? Sadly, emotions like hatred, fear, anger, doubt, frustration, and resentment can be expressed and fueled by words as well. Whether words are written or spoken, they have the power to break and destroy healthy environments, as well as relationships. Years ago, I accepted the challenge presented in Ephesians 4:29, which states, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." What a powerful directive. This would be a project in taming my tongue. Witnessing the barren desert of hurtful words, I was excited to go on this new life-giving adventure. I wanted to speak life into my world starting with my own tongue. Since our tongue wields the mighty power for life or for death, we must be mindful about what we say and how we say it. Consider your words. Your words can change everything.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let us continue with the instruction. We're looking at, ask these things from God. And King David rehearsed this with Israel, telling them this is something that we should ask from God. Psalms 119. And it's verse 33 through 39. Teach me, O Lord, the ways of thy statutes, and I will keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in the way. Establish my words unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. So all of these things are things that we should be asking the Lord God Almighty for. And as I mentioned before, the break, there are so many basic instructions before leaving earth. We have 66 books to draw from. And there are many examples of what we should be asking God for in those. And now, for this example's sake, let's turn to James chapter 1, verse 8, And we're going to see how James puts it for us today, which are good examples that we should draw from. James chapter 1, verse 1 through 8. Listen what James says. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that God giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. But let him ask in faith, not wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with winds and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So this is good to understand, that James is telling us these are good attributes to ask for. And this is what I want you to take from this particular instruction spiritually. This is what it means, that asking, seeking, and knocking are the requests Jesus taught us to approach God with. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? And ye shall receive, seeking, and ye shall find, knocking, and it shall be opened unto you. And there's a multiplicity of questions or requests that you could make. But asking, seeking, and knocking, that's what I'm sharing with you. You should focus on. All right, let's go to the next instruction. Turn back with me, if you will. We're going to take another example from Proverbs chapter 30. We're going to look at Proverbs chapter 30, verse 10 through 14. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 10 through 14. And listen, this is the instruction I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. Accuse not a servant unto his master. This is very significant, my brothers and sisters, because what we're talking about is our relationship one to another, more especially with God. Okay? This is what the psalmist or the proverbist is identifying, our relationship with God and one another. This is what he is saying, and this is what it says in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 10 through 14. Accuse not a servant unto his master, lest he curse thee, and thou be found guilty. There is a generation that curseth his father and does not bless his mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet are yet not washed from filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. Again, my precious brothers and sisters, what we're talking about is our relationship with one another and God, and that's where we are to be very careful on accusations that we make against one another. In fact, we know in the book of Titus or the book of Jude, it tells of the encounter between Michael the archangel and Satan over Moses' body. And we know that the Bible says that Michael would not make a railing or accusation against Satan because Satan is, again, a creature of God. And so what this is telling us is that we shouldn't be judging one another. That's the bottom line. Now, what we're going to do is go to Deuteronomy chapter 16, and we're going to see how Moses rehearsed this to Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 19 and 20. And listen, this is, again, much more stringent, and it's much more poignant, if you will. And this is how Moses rehearsed it to Israel. Thou shalt not risk judgment. Thou shalt not respect persons, neither take a gift, for a gift doth blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous. That which is altogether shall thou follow, that thou mayest live and inherit the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So Moses was much more stringent about what he told Israel in accusing, or in not accusing per se, but making sure that you're not in a position that is going to get you in trouble with God. And now we're going to go to Matthew. We're going to go to our New Testament complement. Turn your Bible sources with me to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to look at verse 1 through 5. And again, this is Jesus telling us the Sermon on the Mount, and it's more specific about judging one another. It says, judge not that ye be not judged, for with what measure, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in your own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thy own eye? I see we're at the second break. Let's take that break, and then we'll continue with the lesson.
Now, how come Moses and Israel are so different? Why is that? Well, in order to understand why they're so different, you got to go back to when he delivered them out of Egypt. So let's backtrack now a couple of years when Moses delivers them out. All the plagues happen and all that, and he delivers them out of Egypt. Now, the question I always ask people is, when Moses delivers Israel out of Egypt, where is he bringing them to? Where's their destination? Come on, shout it. The promised land. No, what does he say to Pharaoh? 5 times. Thus saith the Lord, let my people go that they might worship the Lord in the wilderness. Why does Moses want to bring them out of Egypt into the promised land before first bringing them to the promiser? If he brings them out of Egypt into the promised land before first bringing them to the promiser, they'll make the promised land into a place of idolatry. And that's what we did as a church in America. We have preached more of what Jesus will do for us rather than who he is. And you know what we've done? We have spawned disciples that are seeking God for what he can do for me, not because of who he is. And that's like a woman marrying a man because he's got a lot of money. She loves him, but she loves him for the wrong reasons. See, I find an amazing contrast. I look at Moses, and I look at Israel. Israel has stripes on their back. They have labored all their lives to build somebody else's inheritance. I mean, they have no inheritance at all. They have slaved to build Egypt. Their children have been put to death. They live in the slums. They eat the leftovers. They wear the leftovers. Yet they come out of Egypt and they are constantly saying, let's go back to Egypt. It was better for us in Egypt than it is in this desert. But I look at Moses. He had the elaborate lifestyle that I just described to you. He comes out of Egypt, and he never, ever, ever once says, I want to go back to Egypt. It was better for me back in Egypt. Why? Because he had one encounter with the promiser. One encounter with his presence. That's why he wants to take him out of Egypt and bring him straight to Mount Sinai. Because Sinai is where the bush was. That's where he met God. He's like, I want you to meet who I've met. So he brings them out to the mountain. That's where they go. And now listen carefully to me. God knows Moses, and Moses knows the people, but God and the people haven't met yet. So who's going to facilitate the meeting? Moses. So God comes down, and he preps the meeting. Everybody say, preps the meeting. And look what God says. He says this. He says, Moses. He's talking to Moses about this meeting coming up. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you. Now look at the words. Look at the words. Brought you to myself. The entire reason that God delivered them out of Egypt was to bring them to himself.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're going to complete this instruction. Accuse not a servant unto his master. And of course, we're talking about you and I and our relationship together with God. And so we know that Jesus, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 through 5, Jesus started off by saying, judge not, that ye be not judged. And we left off at verse 4 where it says, or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in your own eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thy own eye, and then thou shalt be able to see clearly to cast out the mote out of your brother's eye. So that is telling us that we should be careful with one another as far as accusation. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that accusation has its place in society. But with God, be careful, because he says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And that's where we should leave it, that God will take care of the unrighteousness of man. And we should warn man, but we need to be careful of how we accuse man, because man belongs to the Creator as we belong to the Creator. That's what I want you to get out of that. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Back to chapter 30, Proverbs chapter 30. And we're going to look at verse 15 through 33. And this is what I want you to get from this reading, this particular one. Beware to understand these things, my brothers and sisters, again. Basic instructions before leaving earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible, 66 books, more than enough credible instructions to beware of. And these are just but a few, but for the lesson's sake, let's read Proverbs chapter 30, verse 15 through 33, to hear what the proverb has said about this to Israel. The horse leech has two daughters crying, give, give. Now there are three things that are never satisfied. Yea, four things, say not. It is enough. The grave and the barren womb and the earth that is not filled with water and the fire that saith not enough. It is not enough. Remember, we're talking about beware of these things. The eye that mocked at his father and despises to obey his mother. The ravens of the valley shall pluck it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. There be three things which are too wonderful for me, yea, four which I know not. The way of the eagle in the air, the way of a serpent upon a rock, in the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, in the way of a man with a maid. Again, my precious brothers and sisters, we must beware to understand this. Such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eateth and wipeth her mouth and says, I have done no wickedness. For three things, the earth is disquieted, and for four which it cannot bear. For a servant when he reigneth, and a fool when he is filled with meat. For an odious woman when she is married, and a handmaid that is heir to her mistress. There are four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, Yet make they their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king. Yet go they forth, all of them by bands. I hope you're listening to this, my brothers and sisters. This is Proverbs 30, verse 15 through 33, giving us these understandings that we need to be aware of. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. There be three things which go well. Yea, four are comely and going. A lion which is strongest among beasts and turneth not away from any. A greyhound and a he-goat also, and a king against whom there is no rising up. If thou hast done foolishly in lifting up thyself, or if thou hast thought evil, lay thy hand upon thy mouth. Surely the churning of the milk bringeth forth butter, and the wrinkling of the nose, or the wringing of the nose, bringeth forth blood. So the focusing of wrath bringeth forth strife. All of this is good, my brothers and sisters, for us to make sure we have knowledge of and understanding. Now I want to just amplify this by going to Deuteronomy chapter 27, and this is how Moses rehearsed it to Israel, and it was much more stringent, as the Old Testament law is, compared to what the New Testament laws give us. This is Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 15. It starts off, and listen to what it says. Cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image, an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and putteth it in a secret place. And all the people shall answer and say, Amen. Again, beware of graven images. Again, 16, verse 16 says, cursed be he that setteth light by his father or his mother. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark, and all of the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that maketh the blind to wander out of the way, and all the people shall say, Amen. My brothers and sisters, are you listening and hearing what Moses rehearsed to Israel? Cursed be he that perverteth the judgment of the stranger, fatherless and widow, and all of the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that lieth with his father's wife, because he uncovereth his father's skirt, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that lieth with any manner of beast, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that lieth with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that lieth with his mother-in-law, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that smiteth his neighbor secretly, and all the people shall say, Amen. And cursed be he that taketh reward to slay an innocent person, and all the people shall say, Amen. Are you listening, my brothers and sisters? All of these are prerequisites for, you might say, damnation. They're against the laws of God, and we must be aware of that and respond accordingly. And, of course, verse 26 says, cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them, and all the people shall say, Amen. I see we've reached another a break. Let's take that break, and then we'll conclude this instruction.
No wonder she walked in crying. No wonder she walked in the door weeping. There was no one else that could fix it. No wonder she kissed his feet and put down her hair and started drying his feet with her hair. Because there was nothing but the blood. Nothing else could do it. Nothing else could cleanse it. Nothing else could fix it. Nothing else could restore it. I've been from bed to bed and man to man and woman to woman. Yes, I'm a sinner. but nothing else could fix it. I ran off with anybody who said they would fix it, but nothing else could fix it. Nothing else could fix it. I didn't mean to be a tramp. I wasn't trying to be a slut, but I couldn't find nobody. Nothing but the blood. 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 I tried everything else. Nothing but the blood. I slept with everybody else. Nothing but the blood. I tried to shoot it up, drink it up, smoke it up, snort it up. Nothing, 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 nothing. But the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that blood that makes me white as snow.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now, here's our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Peach.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, we are on the instruction, beware, to understand these things. They are all critical as far as I'm concerned. But, of course, we are just identifying certain parts in certain books of the Bible that highlight this point for the lesson plan tonight. So now turn with me to Philippians. We're going to go to a New Testament complement to compare and agree with what the Old Testament is telling us about this. We're going to go to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to be looking at verse 4 through 9 and listen to how Paul tells the disciples about the things they should be keeping note of. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. That's one factor that we should always be aware of, that we should be rejoicing in the Lord. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. You hear that, my brothers and sisters? We understand. We must beware that it's prayer and supplication and thanksgiving and rejoicing in the Lord that's significant to us today for sure. Verse 7 says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus." Finally, brethren, listen to what Paul is telling the disciples. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praises, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. My precious brothers and sisters, it's so much more, but just that in itself gives us a multitude of examples of how we should conduct our lives this side of eternity and be successful with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. That basic instructions before leaving earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible, will keep us well grounded in our faith. That is the only thing that will, my brothers and sisters. For faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And that word has been written. And that's why in the Old Testament, God made sure it was written on tablets to begin with. And in the New Testament, we know in the book of Revelation, John the Revelator was told to write this in a book. So that is so significant to have it in writing. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn back with me, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 31 this time. And we're going to look at verse 3 through 7. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. Listen to the instruction. Give not thy strength to drink. My brothers and sisters, that's any intoxicant. I mean, drink is what we're going to focus on. But any intoxicant, anything that's going to cause you to lose control of your senses, and it could be food. Anything that's going to cause you, could be anxiety. Anything that causes you to lose control of your senses, you have to be aware of, and do not allow your strength stand up for God to lose out because of that. Now, this is what the Proverbist says about it in Proverbs chapter 31, verse 3 through 7. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 3 through 7. Listen, give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which will destroy kings. Is it not for the king, O Lemuel? Is it not for the kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law, and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted? Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his memory, his misery no more. So we know that in the proverb, it's talking about an intoxicant, that it could be liquor, and it is talking about drink. But it, of course, today we know it could be some type of drug. Anyway, I say to you, my precious brothers and sisters, anything that will dull the mind, it can be used against you, and it will cause you to lose your strength. And again, it could be food, okay? Because obesity comes in the mind, and you know that robs us of our strength. All right, let's go now to Ecclesiastes, just to get an amplification on that from what Solomon says in Ecclesiastes, and we're going to see how he puts it in Ecclesiastes 10, and we're going to look at several verses. We're going to look at verse 12 and 13 first, and it says, chapter 10, verse 12 and 13, the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. The beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is mischievous madness. And verse 17 and 19 completes the thought. Blessed art thou, O land, when thy king is the son of nobles, and thy princes eat in due season for strength and not for drunkenness. By much slothfulness, the building decayeth, or I should say 19, completes the thought. And I see a feast is made for laughter, and wine maketh merry, but money answereth all things. So you can see, even though this isn't as clear as I wanted it to be, we're talking about something that intoxicates you and causes you to lose control of your senses. All right? Turn with me now. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to see how Paul puts it to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9 through 11. And this is how the New Testament complements what we're talking about, not giving you strength to drink. And it says, for I think that God has set forth us, the apostles last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but we are wise in Christ. We are weak, but we are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. It tells us in this instance how we should maintain our strength, and that is key. I see that we're at the last break of the hour. Let's take that break, and then we'll complete the lesson.
You want to make good decisions, right? So consider this. In Jeremiah chapter 41, there's this small group of Jewish survivors who just escaped the destruction of Jerusalem, who just narrowly missed an abduction attempt by the Ammonites. And after all of that, in verse 17, it says, and they went and stayed at Geruth Chimham near Bethlehem, intending to go to Egypt. Now, this remnant, they had a decision to make. They could stay in Bethlehem to try to rebuild, or they could go over to Egypt in hopes to find safety. Now, in chapter 42, it tells us that they went to Egypt. They made the wrong decision, and it quickly collapses. They went against God's word. They went against Jeremiah's counsel. They went against God's will for them, and they suffered dearly for that wrong choice. Now, learning from their bad decision-making, here's a better biblical decision-making process. It's five steps, and the first is to pause. Proverbs 19:2 tells us, desire without knowledge is not good, and whoever makes haste with his feet misses his way. Avoid making fast decisions, but just pause. Get the facts and examine all the possible outcomes of all the options that you have in front of you. And two is read. Psalms 119:105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. When facing a decision, get God's take on it. See what his word has to say about it. Three is to ask. Proverbs 15:22 tells us, without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. So get advice from reliable sources. It could be a friend, a parent, or a pastor. And fourth is to yield. In Luke 22:42, it reads, not my will, but yours be done. Jesus spoke those words to give us a principle to follow, that our will needs to yield to God's will, because God's direction is always the best direction. So pause, read, ask, yield, and the fifth step is part of all of those steps. It's to pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. So as you pause, pray. As you read, be praying. As you ask, pray. As you yield, pray. When you want to make the right decision, remember that acronym, pray. If this devotion was encouraging, please give...
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here's our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Peach.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're going to the next instruction, and the instruction is speak wisely, and we're going to take the scripture from Proverbs chapter 31, verse 8 and 9. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 8 and 9 is where we're going to read the scripture, and this Proverbist is saying, open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Speak wisely is the instruction, and that is the key. And let's hear what Isaiah had to say about it. Isaiah in chapter 1, verse 17 and 18, listen to what Isaiah says about this. Isaiah says, learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat of the good of the land. My brothers and sisters, we're talking about speaking wisely. Now let's go to our New Testament compliment, and we're going to see how Jesus put it in Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, verse 31, and Matthew chapter 12, verse 31 and 32. Listen to what Matthew or Jesus says. Wherefore, I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto any man. Excuse me. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. My precious brothers and sisters, speak wisely. You heard what Jesus said. No blasphemy against the Holy Ghost is acceptable. Listen to what he continued or completed the thought in verse 36, in verse 37. And this is telling us what happens in general. Listen, my precious brothers and sisters. Jesus says, but I say unto you that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by your words thou shalt be justified, and by your words thou shalt be condemned. My precious brothers and sisters, be aware that this is the case that we are subjected to, and we must be very careful to speak wisely. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that what we say is held in account by God. So be quick to hear, slow to speak, and no wrath. That's my suggestion in this instruction, my brothers and sisters, to respond to this, that we say that what we say shall be held in account by God. So be quick to hear, slow to speak, and no wrath. Okay, let's go to the final instruction for this evening. And this will complete this particular book, my brothers and sisters. So Proverbs will be completed at the reading of this. This is Proverbs chapter 31, and we're going to, this is the instruction, listen, attributes of a good woman. This is used by many, many theologians to describe a good woman. Attributes of a good woman. Listen to what Proverbs 31 says about it, beginning in chapter 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Verse 12 continues, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Verse 15 continues, she rises also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. And chapter 20 again, verse 20, continues, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hand to the needy. And verse 25 through 27 continues, stretch and honor are her clothing, strength and honor are her clothing. And she rejoiceth in time to come. She opened up her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the way of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. And verse 30 completes the thought. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she is to be praised. My brothers and sisters, that is the attribute. Some attributes of a good woman. And, of course, the last is the best. The fear of the Lord is key for her. Now let's go and look at the book of Ruth, just to amplify the book of Ruth, and pay chapter 4, verse 13 through 17. Listen to how it was read about Ruth in chapter 13, chapter 4. Verse 13 through 17. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nurturer of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath bore him. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi. and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. My brothers and sisters, this tells us that because of allegiance and the right allegiance, if you realize that Ruth was not in the Israeli line, she was of another tribe or another people, but she was righteous, and God entered her to the extent that she became the mother of Obed. And of course, Obed was the father of Jesse and the father of David. Now let's go to our New Testament complement. We're going to complete the series here with 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and listen to what Paul talks about a good woman. Be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I deliver them to you. But I would have you not that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth and prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. For that is even all one as if she were shoven or shaven. But if the woman be not covered, let her also be shown or shaved. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shaved, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God. But the woman is the glory of the man. For the woman is not of the, for the man is not of the woman, but the woman is of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the women to have power on their heads because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also of the woman. But all things are of God. Judge in yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. So we can see Paul gives this instruction specifically in this particular instance. So this is the attribute of good women. This is how they should react, especially today in our Christian society. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually, that we must be careful on choosing a spouse, because what God has not put together, let no man put asunder. And that's how we close, my brothers and sisters, that we know that it is God that orders our steps, and he is the one that orchestrates our lives. Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. We go to God for the answer. Okay, so as we are closing, the host and I would like to, again, thank you for your participation and your encouragement. And again, I say good night.
Thank you for listening to Basic Instructions Before Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I hope you are blessed by our program. Please join us every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Good night.